Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Stay on Target. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
So we are reviewing The Wolverine here in a little bit.
Yeah, we've got a special guest on the couch today. We've got Jared. So
yep, Jared's
he'll be joining
up.
Us a little bit later.
Yep. Make sure you check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/stayontargetpodcast. On Twitter, @stayontargetpod. And always online, www.stayontargetpodcast.com. So how's your week been?
Oh, it's been good.
Good week?
Yeah,
lots of stuff done?
There's lots of stuff going on, too. Like, Comic-Con, there's lots of news.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going
on. To touch on.
Yeah.
So let's just kind of dive right into the old news section.
All right, it's time for news. All right, so we can go ahead and start talking about something that kind of directly relates to this episode.
Right on.
Fox 411 Entertainment News was talking to Hugh Jackman, and he says he's going to continue to play Wolverine as long as the fans want him to.
Man, in my opinion, he's like the best person to play Wolverine.
That's true, and you know, but he's also like this is like the sixth time he's played Wolverine.
This is
you know the most any actor has played any superhero.
Really? Like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
For sure. So. There's that. We can move into some comic news. Dark Horse is going to publish a Tomb Raider ongoing comic series written by Gail Simone.
Which is really cool. I was wondering why she was on a panel for Dark Horse at Comic-Con, and that was why. So
yeah,
I think it's really good news. I think she'll do well with the character. I remember back whenever the last Tomb Raider game came out, she had a lot of tweets about it. Like, she played it, you know, played it constantly for like a couple days. It was good. So I think it'll be a good time.
That's cool, yeah. Also, coming out of Comic-Con, Man of Steel sequel is probably going to be a Batman versus Superman movie.
Which is pretty huge news.
Yeah.
We still don't know if it's going to be tied into Nolan's universe or not.
We don't. Now, this is the thing, though. I'm glad they're going this route because, you know, like before there were just all these rumors about right after Man of Steel there being a Justice League movie, and I thought that was a terrible idea just because, you know, there are people in the Justice League that we have not had any kind of origin story for. Like, the reason the Marvel's Avengers worked so well is that they could just throw them into the story without any kind of backstory at all. Like, we know these characters.
Yeah.
Like, Justice League, we would spend half the movie, like, who is Aquaman? And like all the stuff
right.
that we've not seen before.
Right.
And so,
you know, and also with that, we all still haven't seen a team-up movie yet, even from the Marvel side, you know, where it's like two guys.
Well, just two people, right.
Right. And so I think that's a really cool dynamic that they can definitely
But I don't think
on.
it's necessarily a team-up movie because it's called Batman versus Superman.
That's true.
And they're probably just duking it out. That's the part I don't necessarily know how I feel about because, you know, like, I feel like the weakest part of Man of Steel was the 30 minutes worth of fighting at the end. And I feel like that's going to be all 2 hours of Batman versus Superman. They're just going to be hitting each other.
Yeah, and you know, those are two really iconic guys and heroes. And so, you know,
why are they fighting?
Yeah, what could possibly happen to make them fight? I mean, I realize fight for a while, you know, they've done that before. They've faced off in the comic books before. But it's always kind of a temporary thing where one person is just being crazy and the other person sets them straight. So
yeah,
we'll see how it plays out.
Snyder has said that Goyer has said that they're going to draw on The Dark Knight Returns when the two of them fight it out. And so I don't know, we'll see. But I am excited about that just because we already have a basis for that. They're the Batman and Superman comics, and I'm glad they're going this route.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on. We have some more news. Fight Club is going to be a comic.
Yeah, that's really cool. I thought that was a really cool idea. It's, you know, it was interesting that it wasn't, you know, not a movie, not another book. It's going to be, you know, graphic novel or series of graphic novels or books, comic books. They kind of, the details haven't been released, but that's super cool.
Right, yeah. That'll be cool. Xbox One pre-orders are beating the 360 pre-orders.
Reportedly. Like, I don't know, you know, how do you determine the actual hard numbers?
Right, well, I think it's true. I mean, that's basically what are all indications. And this is, you know, from an article on IGN. they also in the same article talk about the PS4's looking like it's going to be the biggest Sony launch ever, which I can believe that. You know, the pre-orders have been off the charts for both these consoles.
Right.
And so I can see them both beating the previous records set by previous consoles.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we haven't had a console in forever, and so it's not just like, oh, this is just another console. This is a big deal. You know?
Right. Right. Also, we found out this week that independent developers will self-publish games on Xbox One, and every single Xbox One will have the ability to be a development kit.
Yeah, eventually. Not at launch.
Right, not at launch.
But eventually it will, which is really interesting. I think that's kind of a, basically that's a step forward for indie developers everywhere. You know?
Especially since they've removed that fee for updating your games, providing updates.
Right, right. And that actually kept a lot of indie publishers from updating the games. I remember Fez had a problem with it. And they just didn't want to update it because it was going to cost them, you know, so much just to update it. So.
Yeah, which is, you know, not good. I'd rather have a not broken game.
Exactly.
I've been playing Guacamelee on PS Vita.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it a lot. There's some DLC available for that now. Diablo's Domain. It's $2.99.
That's not much for DLC.
PSN.
That's great.
No.
Yeah. It's a good price. Everybody should grab it.
Yeah, it'll be cool. So we're looking at. I have some news. And you need to close your ears. You need to, like, cover your ears.
La, 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 la.
Okay. So, spoiler alert for The Walking Dead Season 1, the game. Clementine is confirmed to be in Walking Dead game Season 2. So. You know, whatever that means. I don't want to get into too much discussion about that, but she's going to be in the game, that's pretty cool. So you can, yes.
Okay, I'm back.
You're back. Good.
I'm back.
I'm glad you're back.
Back in the spoiler-free zone.
Yes. All right. The last news. I guess I just saw this on IGN.com just about earlier this evening. Activision has bought itself back. Basically, from Vivendi. Like, you know, Vivendi bought them and has had the majority stakeholder claim.
You mean stockholder?
Yes, stakeholder.
Sounds holding like a bunch of stakes.
Like a bunch of miners in the old West.
I was thinking like a steakhouse.
For gold. Oh, you know? Steakhouse? You mean like a food?
Like you're holding a bunch of steaks.
Yes. That I'm.
Be kind of messy depending on the level of cookedness.
Yeah, can I put it in my pockets? but they bought themselves back and. So, well, this is the thing. Like, okay, so it was kind of rumored, you know, before, earlier this year that Vivendi wanted to sell Activision. Vivendi has a lot of debt, and Vivendi wanted to sell Activision. And it was kind of rumored that Activision would buy itself back, Activision Blizzard. Okay, well, that didn't happen. And then earlier this week, it was reported that Vivendi was looking to draw money out of Activision's cash reserves. Activision has no debt, completely out of debt. And they have cash reserves reported earlier this year at $4.6 billion. And it was saying Vivendi's in such debt, like $17 billion or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
That they're going to pull
that's
money
ridiculous.
From Activision to pay off their debt.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
I mean, so Activision goes, no, we're buying ourselves
exactly.
with our cash reserves. And
right. Activision says, forget about that. Let's just become an independent publisher.
Yeah.
Now. And so... they've bought themselves back. They are completely independent. No one owns them.
That's awesome.
They are free to conquer the world.
That's incredible.
Yep. So, anyway, well, that's the news. All right, hey, everybody. Welcome to our review of The Wolverine. Not Wolverine.
The Wolverine.
Just saw it. We've got our good friend Jared
on
a show with
couch.
Us.
Back in action.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the guest couch again. It's a different guest couch this time.
Yeah, this one's blue.
But it is the guest couch nonetheless.
All right, so let's just start this off. We're gonna go through a spoiler-free review.
Yeah.
Kind of touching on the major points of the thing, you know, but unspoiled. And then we're going to dive right in a short period of time, into the spoiler review.
Correct.
All right, so... let's start us off, you know, kind of global things. Let's just talk a little bit about the movie Wolverine. What did you guys think, you know, of the movie as a whole?
As a whole, I could probably go either way on it. You know, some good points, some bad, or whatever. You know, we're definitely a far, far step above, you know, from things like, you know, the last outing of Wolverine Origins or whatever. But,
yes.
You know, maybe not quite on par, you know, with, you know, maybe like the first X-Men or something like that. But in this... by that same way, completely different movie than any right. than any kind of superhero movie in general. It almost didn't even feel like a superhero movie.
No, it really didn't. I think, you agree.
An action movie.
It felt like kind of like a crime thriller.
That's exactly where I was going to go. It felt kind of like a whodunit type situation, you know.
Let's throw, some adamantium claws in there.
Right. Born with adamantium claws.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And very much, it did have a lot of Bourne elements to it as well. It kind of had that tone to it for a long time through the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something I really dug, I thought it was by far the best Wolverine outing so far. I feel like Hugh did an incredible job acting. I mean, acting, as far as that goes, I thought everybody kind of did a really good job acting. There were some moments that I didn't quite buy from some of the ancillary characters, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But overall, the core group of actors was really well done. Good casting.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of had the look that they were supposed to have. The people who were supposed to creep you out creeped you out. The people who were supposed to be, lovable were lovable.
I'll tell you what surprised me was all the martial arts in it. Wasn't expecting that, really.
It was cool, though.
It was cool. I liked
it. It was a good dynamic, I feel like, for Wolverine, to battle, with his claws, per se. It was cool to have him,
right.
battling swords and that kind of stuff instead of just always running away from guns or other mutant powers.
Right.
It's here it is. Combining mutant worlds, who would win in a fight? The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Wolverine?
I think Wolverine for sure.
I think Wolverine's going to win that one for sure.
I mean, the healing I guess that would mean.
The healing.
But I think the Ninja Turtle would have more fun.
They would have more fun doing it.
Even if they lost.
They'd probably eat more pizza while doing it, too.
They could beat him if they could get their head screwed on straight. If they weren't so dang goofy all the time, they could beat Wolverine.
So Chris says, if they were more serious, they could beat Wolverine. Yes. This is the call. That's the official Chris.
That is my opinion.
Okay, I got you.
Wolverine's a serious guy.
Okay, yeah. So back to the movie, guys. By the way, we should probably mention that this is really late. We saw this on Thursday night, the night it came out, and we saw the 10 o'clock showing. And so this is kind of really late. It's about 1 in the morning, right now. Something like that. So anyway, so back to the movie. If as far as direction goes, let's talk about kind of the direction of it. We've talked about kind of the casting. We've talked about some of the acting moments. What about the direction, Chris?
We were looking at. Wait. No. This is who directed this?
James Mangoloid.
What has he directed before?
Walk the Line. Hmm. What else has he done? Come on, it's on the tip of my. I can't think of it. A bunch of stuff that was very very non superhero, very non. Action related. 310 to Yuma. That was the other
310
one.
To Yuma. That was a good movie.
It was pretty good.
It's a completely different feel from this movie.
A lot of different fields.
I feel like the core, the way he deals with characters kind of it bled into this movie, whereas through the middle section of the movie, I felt very much like it was very character driven, very drama based.
Yeah.
And felt really, very much like
it felt
that.
Kind of slow to me.
Yeah.
I liked the
so
beginning.
You think that was slow. I
felt like the first, 20 some odd minutes, were pretty cool or whatever. And then I feel like we really kind of started slowing down. And it just felt like filler space of didn't really know where we were going. And we were just kind of, I didn't really know. I didn't really know what was going on. It was just Wolverine and this girl, kind of out.
This might be diving into some spoiler stuff.
Listen,
right there.
No, that's
I mentioned there was a girl.
There's
spoiler.
A girl.
There's
there
girls.
A girl.
In
Wait.
This. There's girls
there's,
in this movie,
it's
guys.
Not just a sausage fest. There are girls in this. Spoiler alert.
You mentioned that it didn't quite feel like a superhero movie sometimes. And through that middle section, I felt it very much like a Bond film almost. It was very Bond-esque where you have that moment.
Let's address that in a second because there's a part of this that did feel like the last Bond, but I'll talk about that later.
Right on. Okay, so we've talked about kind of that. What about the music? Did the music stick out to you guys at all?
Because
at the end, Jared mentioned the soundtrack was available.
Soundtrack available on Sony.
It was intense. I can say that.
It didn't really stick out to me, but at the same time, I didn't.
You weren't looking for that. You weren't going into this going, this is going to be an epic soundtrack.
No, for sure. I felt like it kind of, did what it needed to do. I didn't really have any complaints about it. I didn't feel like it was out of place at all. It just, this style of movie, I would say, just didn't really kind of call for a very musically driven, soundtrack,
I think they should have just taken the soundtrack to Fruit Ninja and inserted it here, and it would have worked. you know,
perfectly.
Yeah. Seamlessly. Especially with all of the like the ninja
almost
sounds.
Almost like it was made for that originally.
Yes,
when they made
exactly.
Fruit Ninja.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it would have been seamless.
Exactly.
And great.
Okay, so overall, like we've kind of delved into the direction. We've delved into kind of just the overall feel of the movie. We've talked about some of the characters. Was there anything else that was about this thing that you in the non-spoiler side?
Non-spoiler
that you guys
side,
mention?
No. Yeah. So I say I don't know.
Let's spoil some things.
Yeah. Hang on.
Okay.
Yeah,
so hang on. What's your overall? See it? Don't see it, Chris.
I don't know. You know, like if you like the X-Men, go see it.
Okay, Jared.
Yeah, I mean, I would say definitely, you know, Die Hard, you know, just like Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, you know, fans, you know, you're obviously going to see something that, you know, that you want to see as well, not really a spoiler alert or whatever, but, you know, any Die Hard is always about, you know, some kind of post-credit sequence, and there is one of those, whatever, and everybody always wants to see that. So, you know, if you're willing to go see a movie just to see that end part or whatever, then this is the movie for you.
Okay. Well, before I give my like see it don't see it, I have to say I was kind of surprised that Hugh didn't sing more in this one.
Sing.
Yeah, I mean, oh, I mean, you know, after just, yeah, you know, I this was sort of a sequel to, you know, Les Mis, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
This was Les Mis sequel.
Well, yeah. It started the same way, you know, started in the rags movie. Or whatever, and you know, then you know, kind of got higher.
That's true.
Followed the same pattern.
Where was Anne Hathaway? That's what I want to know.
I mean, that's the only reason I was going. So
yeah, right.
All
right.
So anyway, I would say like if you like superhero action, I would say go. As far as like was it a satisfying movie going experience? I would say yeah. You know, I feel like I got my money's worth. You know,
I mean, it's the best. You know, like it's the best superhero Marvel movie that we've gotten from. Is it Fox that does this? Fox in like I don't know, probably 6 years
since the first.
Since the first X-Men.
X-Men, yeah. which kind of basically was the very first, you know, new generation superhero movies. So
yeah.
Anyway, so basically my take is go see it if you like superhero action. If you don't like superhero action, maybe you want to skip it. All right, so now we're going to be delving into the spoiler section. Our spoiler clock is almost down right now.
Yep, it's down.
It's just kind of ticking away. I mean, it's only got about 7 seconds, and this is 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, Jared.
Spoil
this
us.
Is it. This,
well, I want to be spoiled
just
right
a
now.
Big spoiler right now. Just drop the bomb.
Professor X Magneto, back in action.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a pretty big spoiler.
I got spoiler all over me.
Yeah. Chris, that's disgusting. You probably should go wipe off.
Should. I need to go clean off.
Yeah. So so basically, at the end of the movie, you see basically a big teaser for the next X-Men. And
yeah, not really having anything to do with
X
this movie
back,
with this movie at all.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. Well, like, okay, the whole ending sequence, while that is cool... Like, I feel like all that, like, okay, so Magneto shows up and says, hey, they feel it, figured, you're being really noisy over there with that, with whatever you're eating.
I'm sorry.
Sounds crazy.
It's probably really distracting the microphone as well.
He shows up apologize. And says, hey, they figured out another way to kill us. Oh, man, this is X-Men 3 all over again. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm not a huge fan of like, oh, let's just preserve our race. Like this just seems, I don't know, it's just weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like as far as like that part of it goes, the plot, I don't think we really know enough right now.
Yeah, I feel like
determine.
You're reading too much into
right.
it. Right,
I agree
don't
with
know
that.
At all.
I agree with
but
that.
But I mean, I see your point, and I agree with it. But you
but,
know,
but,
it's just...
but then on the other hand, aren't all superhero stuff? I mean, isn't all like, oh, a big disaster's about to happen, and you know,
right? So but, okay, like, but the X-Men comics have not always just been about protecting the X-Men from humans. Like, it's been about protecting, you know, the Earth from.
Yeah.
Bad guys. Like
yeah,
let's do some of that.
But as far as the movie goes, I mean, it's the only one, it's the only like superhero series and superhero movies that kind of have that separation between you know, it's an us versus them type of mentality. It's a separation between the normal humans and the superhumans. So I mean, it's the only one
be.
That has that those hard lines drawn. And so I think that, you know, keeping that intact is important, but I think you're right that they need to kind of grow past the you know, the whole war against humanity type situation.
Yeah. Okay, so back to the movie. So
Okay, so let's just kind of walk through from the beginning and go on through there. So the intro, like the whole beginning sequence,
I liked it.
Was pretty awesome.
He was pretty.
I was a fan.
I liked that a lot. I liked seeing, you know, like he was basically an animal. Like at this point, you know, he's
for sure. You know, just you know, you had the bear, you know, walking through the woods that just. Couple of guys taking a stroll, you know, neither really threatened by the other.
Yeah. I think they were buddies. I think they hung out and watched football together.
Could be.
They listened to that radio of his together.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, going back farther than that, the very intro was back in time. And it was a dream within a dream. So
that's right. We inceptioned a little bit.
We did inception a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah, this is Wolverception.
By the way, what did you guys think of the of Jean Grey constantly recurring in his dreams through the whole?
See,
movie.
I liked it. I liked it from a character development standpoint, but I think it drug a little bit in the middle.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I see the points or whatever, and like I said, I think character development was a big point, and just to kind of try to make Logan's pain a little bit more. Real of just being weary.
It's been a long time since I've watched the previous movies, and so it kind of gave us a where is he at this point. You know, it's kind of like it was a reminder of where did we end up at the end of the last.
But at the same time, movie. With it, it's like I feel like we could have done without it, and the movie could have still went on. It maybe did make it drag, as well as you know just. The relevance of, you know, just Jean Grey in a nightie in his bed, you know, it was just like,
right.
Just interesting, you know, I mean, if maybe that's just the way he imagines her all the time.
That's the way I read it.
You know, night outfit. Because
on the other hand, like, I feel like she was saying some things that I don't think that her character, as crazy as it, you know, as she was or whatever, you know, I don't think that she was saying some things that she would normally say.
Like what?
It was definitely in his mind what she thought of him. It was what his reflection of, you know, what she saw.
Like, what didn't you think that she would say?
I don't know. I was thinking that that essentially her calling him to die with her.
Yeah, I think that's totally her.
You think that's totally natural?
She's freaking crazy.
That's
like,
true.
At the end of X-Men 3, she had gone completely nuts.
But I also don't think that it was really her, though.
I think it was
just his projection.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I do like she has like even from the beginning she was her character was kind of just manipulative and
for sure
kind of, I feel like it was pretty consistent with the way she acted in the other movies.
Right on. Okay, so we before you know we're back in time back in World War II whenever the bomb drops.
We're at Nagasaki.
That's pretty awesome that he's there whenever the bomb drops.
It was kind of cool.
Why wouldn't he be? You know, he
that's
survive
true,
it all,
that's
dude.
True. And then we zap forward and we're in the forest and then something happens where he's about to take these guys out for hunting his bear buddy.
Yeah. Yes. His bear buddy.
Sure.
Name him Tom. Tom is dead.
Wasn't happy about Tom dying.
No, he was not happy about that.
No. He had to kill Tom. He had to put him out of his misery. That's what the worst part is.
Yeah.
Which felt a little weak to me on some level or whatever. That's kind of the initial pull that they used to kind of pull him out of his.
That was the inciting moment. That's what started the fire. Because
you know he was talking in his dreams about you know he you know made this oath or whatever to himself that he's you know not an animal anymore. He's not going to kill anymore or whatever. And then like one bear dies and he's like I've had it. I'm taking everybody out. You know
right.
It's like I don't know.
Well, they didn't really establish.
I mean, and maybe you know he's just looking for an excuse. You know I don't know. But.
See,
they didn't really establish the bond between him and Tom very well. Like they just kind of like they walk. Walking through the woods, they kind of nod at each other like, hey, what's up? And then, you know, like, that's the extent of the bond that we see.
I mean, however, I was glad he was in the bar getting ready to tear some people up or whatever, but I just felt like...
Because you're just sitting there going, let's get this movie going.
I just felt like we could have maybe come up with a different way, though, to possibly get him out of...
I guess
you know,
because I mean he's out in the forest, he's an animal, you know, essentially he's got this animal, you know, he very much acts like an animal out there, and then he's got the animal buddy, and his animal kingdom is threatened, and... And then he goes and takes these guys out, but then we meet one of the other characters, the other main characters.
And what was her name?
I don't remember.
Does anybody remember? I'll find out.
I don't remember. She was very good with a sword, though.
She was very good with the sword.
She was a cool character.
I agree. She
had a lot more character than was let out to be in the trailers. You know, she was a lot more of a lovable character.
Right.
Yeah. You really liked her at the end, for sure. And so she kind of drags him over to
Japan.
Yokio.
Yeah, there you go. So she drags him over to Japan under the idea that hey, there's this, there's a guy who you used to know, which he actually just conveniently dreamed about the night before.
Right.
You know, and he wants to say goodbye before he dies. He wants to say thank you.
Which
and
for
goodbye.
A second he acted like he didn't know him, but he knew the dude's name. Apparently, like the guy told him his name in the well.
Yeah, but that's a dream, man. Do you remember everything that happens to you in a dream?
Like 100 years ago here.
That's
know?
True.
I mean, you collect a lot of memories, you know, when you've lived, you know, hundreds of years.
I mean, an atomic bomb went off since then. So
right. Okay, so they're over there. I don't necessarily want to run down the whole plot.
No. So let's not run down the whole thing, but let's jump forward. So basically, he goes over there, and the guy doesn't just want to thank him.
Right.
The guy wants to steal his powers.
His powers. Right. Okay. So then this is one point where I have a big problem with this movie.
Really?
Okay.
I absolutely do not like plot lines that involve taking superpowers away from our superheroes. The reason I go see a superhero movie is to see them use their powers.
Yeah.
Not run around without them all the time.
That's true.
I don't like it with Superman. I don't like it with Wolverine.
But to me, he wasn't wanting to take away... He didn't take away all of his powers. He only took away the healing factor.
But the reason
we need that is because we know that
it really
that
wasn't
Logan,
even addressed the state of his powers, though. Because, you know, he wasn't... It's like he was hurt, but like, was he healing on some level? Was he healing at no level at all?
He shot really close to the heart, man.
Because if he wasn't healing at all, he would have died.
And they took like 12 bullets out of him.
Yeah, man.
Whatever. So we weren't really sure of like what was the state of his powers. I felt like, you know, you could just see that he was hurt.
Yeah.
The only explanation we get is him looking in the mirror, being like, "Well, that's weird."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm bleeding. This is new.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what did you guys think of the whole, you know, just kind of how they like did all like the cameras and the scenery like during those kind of scenes, you know, the very, you know, kind of almost typical kind of, you know, hazy people, you know, running fuzzy, you know, audio or whatever.
You mean he wasn't wearing the One Ring?
Yeah.
During those scenes?
Yes. I actually liked a lot of that. Like, I liked a lot of the direction. You know, I thought that they did... I mean, it kind of brought it in, like, you know, he's getting... Like, especially whenever he was getting hit by those poles on either side, which kind of, like, all came in and it's just like, what is going on? Like, this is
yeah, for
terrible.
Sure.
And I thought it felt like, you know, he felt like what it looked like. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was good.
Definitely. I kind of liked it, too. The only thing about it that I didn't like was the very first time it happened, it kind of threw me for a loop, and I was like, okay, what are we really experiencing here? I mean, and then you kind of realize,
because you're not expecting that from Wolverine.
Right. Well, right. And you're
his
not,
powers are gone.
You're not really expecting, you know, I mean, you might expect, hey, he's still bleeding or whatever, but I don't expect it to affect him necessarily on that visceral of a level, which was kind of nice, I feel like.
Yeah. What about villains? What do you guys think about the villains in this movie?
Okay, so villains. We've got, you know, her father and grandfather ended up, and then the
Viper.
Were you surprised by that at all, guys?
Viper.
By her grandfather being the mastermind. Were you surprised by that at all?
No.
Yeah. I don't think anybody was.
saw that coming a million
from the
miles
minute
away.
She says, "I didn't foresee him dying. I knew he wasn't dead."
Yeah,
you know, everybody
for sure.
knew that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, as far as that goes, villains, man, there was a whole climax moment where I didn't know what the heck was going on. We had a Terminator moment in there. Yeah. There was all sorts of stuff that was going on that I had no clue about. And then whenever they tried to wrap it all up and the big shocker is that he's alive and he's in the suit, it's like, yeah, we knew this.
Figured that out.
You know?
I felt like villains were weak kind of overall. I felt like the Viper character could have been cool, but there wasn't really any development.
No.
You know,
didn't know why she was
just
kind of
just
doing.
Was walking around waxing people left and right, and everybody was obviously kind of afraid of her.
See, the thing is this.
Or whatever, but
I felt like she was a very forced character because she had those moments in the battle. I feel like she was only there so that while Wolverine was duking it out with whoever he was duking it out with, she could duke it out with the secondary good guys.
For sure.
I feel like she was only around for that role.
Yeah, I didn't feel like we really found anyone that was a good match for Wolverine, and so we tried to compensate for that by bringing Wolverine down or whatever, you know, cutting off his claws and, you know, taking out his powers or whatever. But, you know, we didn't really have a good villain that was a good match for Wolverine. Like I said, there was a lot of cool action in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, man, the train was one of my favorite things.
The train sequence was
really cool.
We had the big, you know, 300-mile-an-hour, you know, speed train. Bullet train flying around on top, jumping over stuff. You know, really, really cool.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, so there was a lot of good action scenes, but as far as just the main villain, you know, throw down with Wolverine, just I didn't feel like anyone was really holding a candle to him.
Well, also think about this: like at the beginning of most action films, whenever you hit this moment, you hit a moment whenever, like, or so for example, we'll just use what we reviewed last time, Superman, Man of Steel, where the Zod shows up, and you're like, okay, Superman and Zod are going to throw down. From that moment that he shows up, you know that that's going to happen. You know who it's going to be, and you know that this is going to be epic. There was never that in this movie.
No, for sure not.
You didn't know who you were going to fight at the end. You didn't know what was going on. You know,
I also didn't like him necessarily. I'm like, why is he fighting all these ninjas? Why are they doing this?
But you always got to be thinking about foot ninjas, man.
they can be sneaky.
Those guys,
wipe out your family.
I mean, seriously, like they took out those guards like it was nothing. That was a pretty sweet scene.
That was a pretty cool scene. Yeah. I liked him battling her father. That was really cool. You know, like I feel like that was that was the climax for me, was him killing her father. You know, like the rest of it. You know, like okay, from that point on, it felt like in the first Wolverine film. Whenever he goes and fights Deadpool, that's what the rest of the movie felt like to me. Like, I feel like Viper was Deadpool in this one.
Interesting. And maybe that's because, like, they just think, hey, we've got to have Wolverine and somebody else, a one-on-one battle between these guys and the square off. You know, you guys mentioned that you didn't like the middle section. But I personally liked the middle section, almost like the middle section of the drama and kind of like the slower moments.
I liked that.
Like, I liked it almost better than like the climax. I feel like the climax never lived up to the emotion that was portrayed in the drama.
Right. I thought that they did a really good job. You know,
I just feel like it didn't have any direction.
It felt like it was meandering. And I didn't really feel like we were going anywhere per se. I liked him going back to the spot where the well was.
And I liked it.
I liked him having the dream, and I liked her telling him the story of how her grandfather would say whenever she had nightmares that, I forgot the word that she used, but basically Wolverine would come and protect her from her bad dreams. Yeah. And here he is protecting her. And you could really see she was not afraid of him. Mm-hmm. You know, she was treating him like a person and, you know, she...
Not an animal.
Right. And she felt like, you know, he was her protector. And I think he needed that in that moment. And I liked seeing that.
I agree. And that's the part that I loved. I loved that drama and that awesome, you know, just good character development. I felt like it was really, I didn't feel like it was meandering or anything. I felt like plot line wise, it was like you don't go to a Wolverine film expecting drama of that sort. You go expecting, you know, fists flying action. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like it was kind of unexpected and I enjoyed it, but I do see your point that the plot, you know, the plot of the mystery of the whodunit, who's after us kind of got lost by the wayside for a minute.
The part that I thought kind of reminded me of Skyfall was, okay, like Skyfall, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Skyfall. He's going home, like he's going to his ancestral home, you know, to hide out from these guys that are after him. So she goes to her ancestral home or whatever to go hide out from these guys. I'm like, this is Skyfall.
There are very much those moments, that middle section, like I said, reminds me of the like a Bond film where you have like the action at the beginning that sets everything up, then you have this kind of dramatic middle section with the Bond girl and all this stuff, and then at the end you kind of have this spiraling domino effect of action. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they tried to set it up that way, and it definitely drew those comparisons for me between like Bond films and detective type films and this movie. So
Jared, what do you think about the plot as a whole, like fitting into the universe that they've created with the X-Men?
Just kind of weak. Again, overall, I feel like we could have just. I mean, the plot wasn't bad, but I feel like we could have done an entirely different plot, and it could have been better.
Yeah, I felt like it was largely inconsequential to the larger universe.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it was cool being in Japan. There was a couple cool things about it, for sure. But it was just kind of, hey, there's the classic, you know, princess and the protector, you know, story. Like I said, it didn't feel like a superhero movie. You know, we even, like you mentioned earlier, you know, we took away his powers even to some extent.
Yeah.
Or whatever, to where it just felt like a Bourne or a Skyfall or whatever, which are great movies or whatever. But this is a Wolverine movie. This is supposed to be a Wolverine movie. And we just didn't capture that on some levels. On some levels, I think that we did. You know, there was some, you know, cool just classic kind of bad attitude Wolverine not taking it, you know, him throwing the guy off the balcony, you know, it was kind of cool.
And, just into the pool.
Yeah, for sure. Just, I mean, it's just like the, you know, there were some hit and miss moments for sure.
Yeah.
The pool scene reminded me of Emperor's New Groove when he falls on his trampoline salesman.
Yes.
He falls on this guy.
Or mattress salesman.
Mattress salesman, something like that.
Yeah.
One of those two.
Yeah, dude. So, like, so as far as the ending, they cut off his adamantium claws, bone claws now.
Yeah, that's
I guess we're doing bones claws Wolverine. This is a big spoiler. I mean, like, yeah, that's bone claws.
Are we gonna continue with bone claws? It looked like we were at the end. Film,
I mean, unless they inject him with more adamantium.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really know much about comic book mythology, or I guess you would say to know, like, is it possible to fix his Wolverine claws?
Well, this is what I think happened. You know, like, I mean, he cut off the reason, like, his claws had never been broken before because adamantium. Well, they broke the adamantium. And, like, the reason he had adamantium claws in the first place was because his bones were infused with adamantium. So I don't, like, unless he gets, like, another infusion of adamantium, I don't know how he would have them back.
Which, who would ever want to go through that again?
Yeah.
The adamantium.
But it does have to be on his claws, though.
Like, I don't know. I just hope that they would at least explain it to some level if they just... I would hate to just show up in the next movie and just like, oh, he's got claws again.
No, see, I don't think we will, like, because even in the at the end, in the bonus scene, yeah, it was like, he was in the airport and that sort of thing. And
yeah,
he
did say it was two years later.
Yeah,
still
he had
the
bone claws. He still had bone claws rolling there. So, you know, I mean, I feel like we're sticking with bone claws for a bit because it's something different, something new. I feel it's more raw. And I feel like whenever he gets hit on those things, it's going to hurt now.
I can obviously break them.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like when we get into the next film, when we kind of get back into, you know, Professor X and the other X-Men and, like, back into that kind of more technological world, that they will probably do something to get him back or whatever.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, adamantium claws are just more powerful, you know what I mean? I just can't see them just being okay with kind of a weaker Wolverine or whatever, because it is weaker to have bone claws for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
So where do we go from here? Like, what movies, like, do they have something planned?
There's another X-Men.
Another X-Men after Wolverine, or is it another X-Men Origins?
No, it's that it's the X-Men Days of Future Past that they're doing the.
So it's the combo.
Well, yeah, it's the big combo. It's the follow-up to X-Men First Class or whatever, but at the same time, they're doing a big time travel sequence that they're going to try to kind of link up all the X-Men and all the plot holes that have been kind of put out there in all the movies.
Mm.
So, you know, obviously, if you mess around with time travel, then you can kind of change all these plot holes and kind of make it all. And that's how they're bringing Professor X back, and that's how they have Magneto back or whatever, because there's some kind of time travel element that's going on here.
I see.
I think that pretty much covers our opinions on the movie. Let's go ahead and just do a quick light speed review of this movie. So let's go around the circle, starting with, you know, I will go Chris, Jared, me.
6.7.
Round of 7 as well. That's good.
All right, well, Jared, thank you for coming on. You're welcome back anytime because we love you.
Great.
And
for sure.
Well, you've been listening to our review of The Wolverine. I got it wrong the second time I said it too.
Twice.
Strike two. Strike two.
All right, so check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/stayontargetpodcast. On Twitter, it's @stayontargetpod. And online at stayontargetpodcast.com. You can also find us on iTunes, subscribe, and we post every single week. So that's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.